Amen. You know what? It wasn't too long ago that Isaac preached a sermon at Esperanza, just giving honor to his dad. And he had some descriptions of what his dad was. Many of those descriptions that I want to use today. Isaac's dad was a wonderful example to Isaac and his brother and his mom of what a godly father should look like. And I will just tell you, listen, dads, I say this all the time. Your kids need to see you being godly, not just hear a bunch of talk. Does that make sense? Now, let me say this at the beginning. This sermon is going to have application for every single person that's here. Amen. Amen? I'm going to talk a lot about fathers, but trust me, ladies, there's so much application for you. So allow the Holy Spirit to bring that application. Does that make sense? But there is, and this sermon, like Mother's Day sermon, is really easy to preach because there's so many examples of godly fathers, godly men in this congregation, one of them being Isaac's dad. But Isaac's, one of them being Isaac, because he is implementing his father, who is implementing his heavenly father. Does that make sense? And just like we can create, just like the sins of the fathers go down for four generations, we can stop that. We can decree and declare that as far as, you know what, me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what, we are done with the sexual, you know what, perversion, I mean, you know what, as far as this family. And you, in your position as fathers, you're the one that mainly has to decree and declare that. I remember hearing this teaching, and I just grabbed my wife, you know what, and said, hey, honey, we're gonna stop this, because I knew in my life there was some generational junk. And I said, no, we're going to stop that today. And I know exactly where I was when I prayed that prayer over my kids. Amen. So, but we can also start to create these strongholds, these righteous strongholds in our kids, and start to get it going in the right direction. Amen. And as I said already, I'm going to go over five things. Listen, but as I'm saying these things, don't allow, listen to this instruction. Don't allow Satan to use this sermon to criticize you. How could Satan do that? Look at the example in the Bible. Satan used God's word to come against Jesus. See, you'll sit there and I'll be preaching and just speaking life. And if you allow Satan to come, he comes immediately to steal the word that's sown. You can sit there and as I'm preaching, you can think, well, I'm not doing that. And next thing you know, you can walk out of here, but that's not going to happen. Amen. Because listen, there's you might be 5 for 5. Every single one, you're going to say, I'm doing that. The Holy Spirit can speak to you and say, hey, maybe this area in your life, you can do a better job in it. Does that make sense? Maybe you're 4 for 5. Maybe you're doing 4 out of the 5. And Satan will come and want to expose that one and build up that one negative thing that you're not doing. No, ain't no big deal. Amen? Amen. Just see it for what it is. It's a blessing that you're learning something. Some of you might be 3 for 5. You need 2 areas. Some of you are only doing 1 of these 5 areas. Some of you might be doing none of them. Praise God. Well, today's the first day of the rest of your life. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, today's a new day. What does a godly father look like? actually, before I start this, I want to, I was taking notes at the, just even this morning, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of something. I got to teach this to you first. Because sometimes we tell our wives, you need to understand. You know what? The Bible says I'm the head. Does the Bible say you're the head? Absolutely, it sure does. But what does that mean? What does that mean? It likens you being the head to your family. Do you know what it likens it to? Like. Somebody say like. See, that's you know what? How many know we got to rightfully divide the word of truth? Amen? We can't just, what's, you know, and many of the times we just heard some bozo who hadn't rightly divided the word of truth kind of, you know, telling his, well, you know, I'm the head. You know, and then we pick that up and say, oh, yeah, that's in the Bible. Well, we've got to rightfully divide the word of truth. What does the Bible say? It says that he's head, that you are head of the family, like Christ is head of the church. What does the head mean?
Head means, you know what? I'll get to tell her what to do. We're going where I want for lunch. That's what the head means.
Amen.
That's what that means.
That's not what that means. Like Christ is the head over the church. Let me just say this. If you're born again, if you've been born again, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, who died for your sins? Jesus died for whose sins? Your sins. He went, watch this, before you are going to sit before God, someone went to the cross before you and took the punishment of sin for you. Somebody say before. Before is really important because before is talking about what he's talking about when he says you're the head over your family. It means you're in front. Somebody say you're in front.
Somebody say, oh, Pastor, I'm the covering for my home.
Okay. Men say that and they don't even know what they're saying. You know what they're saying? They're saying that I go before everyone else. I am the one. It's not saying that you're
the big macho in charge of everything.
No. It means that you are the one that protects your family from all kinds of junk going on. Does that make sense? It means who served the body of Christ greater than anyone else? Jesus. And man, you are the head over your family like Christ is the head over the church. So guess what that means? It means you get to serve them. That's what the head means. That's what the covering is. That's how many know we got to rightfully divide the word of truth. We have taken things out of context. We not understand what the meaning is. The meaning is, men, you get to serve your family like Christ served the church and gave his life for her. Guess what you get to do? How many kids you got?
Four.
You get, and your wife, you get to serve four kids and you get to serve your wife. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many kids you have?
Three.
That's right. That's accurate. We can see two of them running around, and then the other one If you have a if you have a sonogram, you can see that one. Trust me, we're going to see that one in a little while too. How many know that one is one? Amen. How many know that one is one? Amen. And you're going to get to serve all three of them, and you get to serve your wife. That's what you get when you're the head. That's what Ephesians means. Amen. And father means, if you look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew, it means the giver. Now listen to me. There is no... there is no egg that becomes a person without the seed. Listen, you can come up with any kind of stuff you want, society, jargon of all kinds of stuff, but let me just tell you, fathers, you are a father because you were a giver. Some of you is going to soak in about 30 seconds. You're a father because you are a giver. There is no fatherhood without that seed. Impossible. It can't happen. Amen. Amen. Even if they do a, even if they do a artificial. Why do you think they have to do artificial insemination? Because there's no child without that seed. In your makeup, in that word. Father is a giver in the Greek and the Hebrew. But in the Greek and the Hebrew, it also means that you are a sustainer. Because in God's kingdom, there's no fatherhood. There's no just giver without a sustainer. It doesn't even exist. You can't just be a giver and then not sustain that one. To whom much is given, much is required. Newsweek magazine. Not a Christian magazine. Says that when the father leaves the household, for whatever reason, that automatically the children in that household will have a higher susceptibility to all kinds of negatives. Alcoholism, suicide, drug addiction. I mean, just automatically. I'm not saying they have to fall into those things, but I'm saying they have a higher likelihood of any of those things happening. Do you know why? Because you are not just a giver, you are a sustainer. And that which you bring to the family is critical. You know, you know what the number one thing that everyone in jail has in common? The number one commonality of everybody in jail. Whether it's California, New York, Chicago, it don't make any difference. You know what the number one commonality is? Take a wild guess. No father in the home. So I'm here to salute you, and I'm here to tell you your job is critical. And even the secular world, when they look at the reality, they see that. So I want to talk to you about five areas that I see in godly fathers. And I see many of that emulating from your lives. Number one, a father
A father is a protector. A father is a protector. Say, a father is a protector. Your job is to protect. My dad, when he was a teenager, his father had a gun in the house, and his friend was messing around with that gun. The gun went off and shot him in the arm. Every day in my life, not every day in my life, but every time I saw my father, you know what, with a short sleeve shirt or without a shirt, I couldn't miss that huge. He almost lost his arm. And so because of that, we just didn't have any guns in the home. I'm not saying that guns are bad. I'm just expressing what happened to my dad. Does that make sense? But one time, my mom and my sisters went to the movies. Yeah, I went with them. And we were coming home from the movies, and my mom asked, hey, you want to go? No, I'm going to go to bed early. I'm real tired. My dad went to bed early. And when we got home, you know what? My oldest sister almost got just slammed in the head with a pipe wrench. Why? Because my dad woke, he didn't have a gun, but he had a pipe wrench. I mean, a big old pipe wrench. And he had forgotten that we had gone out, you know what I mean, and woke up and groggy, and he thought somebody was in the house, and he grabbed that pipe wrench and almost just, you know, I mean, almost really just knocked her out and was able to, you know, kind of. Now, listen to me, fathers. Godly fathers protect in a physical way. Amen? But protection is way more than physical. Paul says this. He says, look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should come take advantage. Somebody say, take advantage. Take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant to his devices, to Satan's devices. Paul's saying, Satan can come in and take advantage of us, but we're not going to allow him to take advantage of us because we're not ignorant to what he's doing. How many know that passage? Anybody ever heard that passage? We're not ignorant to Satan. I quote it all the time. But watch this. How many know what verse says before this verse? Okay, let me show you. Look what it says before this. Whom now you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven the one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. So, Pastor, what's the point? Here's my point. Paul's not just saying that we know Satan's devices. He's saying one of the main areas that Satan comes in is trying to get you to hold a grudge. Right after he's talking about forgiving, then he says, we're not ignorant to Satan's devices. We know how he's working. So, Pastor, what does this have anything to do with protection? It has everything to do with protection. Listen, man. Listen, fathers. Listen to me very carefully. You are responsible for your family's spirituality. So when you see your son or your daughter, you know what, walking in unforgiveness, or your wife walking in unforgiveness, guess what? You need to have a little talk with them. Amen? And remind them. Why? Because how many know that, listen, it's important to protect our families in everything. But how many know the main thing that's important to protect our families is their spirituality? Amen. How many know our time here on earth is incredibly short compared to our time in heaven? Amen. Amen. So we need to focus on what's really important. Number one, we have to protect them. Can I tell you this, man?
Listen, one of the things that you need to protect your family in is all the junk that's out there. In other words, we have taught so much, you know what, you need to share your feelings. You need to share your feelings. You need to share how you feel. Can I say amen? Can I say amen to God? Okay, you don't need to come home and share all the junk that's going on at work to your wife. Amen. Amen. There's something, and it doesn't get talked about hardly at all any, because the nobility of sharing your feelings is predominant in our society. I'm going to do a whole teaching just on this because it needs to be taught. There's something very godly. We showed it 2 weeks, and I loved the clip. But it was a clip with the kids talking about their fathers. And I don't know if you caught this one. This one girl says, when everything seems hectic, my dad will say, you know what? No, it's when we're late and everything's hectic, my dad will say, no, we're okay. Everything's going to be okay. And I thought, wow, that's a protective man. That's a man who's protecting his wife and his family. No, it's going to be okay. Number one, man, you have to be a protector. Number two, you need to be a provider. Oh, this is good. So let me say a provider. Now, let me tell you what I mean first by a provider. I mean you need to work. Do I got to wrap it for you? I mean you need to work. I mean you need to work. Somebody say work is good. Work is honorable. Work is good. We need to work. Pastor, do you have a passage for that? Oh, I got a lot of passages for it. Amen. Look what it says. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those who are in household, I'm going to talk about this because notice we're going to rightfully divide the word of truth, particularly in your own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. There's something honorable about you taking care. Listen to me. Taking care of those that are in your household. Somebody say those that are in your household. I'm not saying you can't take care of your aunt and your cousin, but I'm saying be careful, because how many ever have a lazy cousin? How many ever had an uncle who can't pay his rent? But he can't pay his rent because your uncle won't work. Do you understand? So I'm saying be careful that you rightfully divide over this, because it is specifically talking about specifically those in your household. And you have to be conscious that you do not become an enabler to people in your family that are just going to know that you are just a soft heart and you'll always, because you're not helping them. Amen. Do y'all receive that? Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor. Somebody say labor. One version says work. One version says toil. Amen. I mean, which one of our fleshes don't want to just sit down and eat Doritos and Ding Dongs all day and watch TV? Hello. That we have to recognize, that's not godly. That's not a godly example to your kids. God wants men to produce. God wants man to do something. To be part of something that is making something better. That's God's will. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Y'all know what comes next? So shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Guys, let me tell you what. Man, we live in a society, and you say, but Pastor, listen, I don't want to say that. Maybe you're in a place where you're in a different time in your life, and you might not be able to do physical labor like you did before. Listen, work can be a lot more than just taking bricks and moving them from one pile to another pile. Listen, every single person, every single man needs to be responsible to be productive. Amen? And if you can't lift something, then you figure out what you can do. Because I guarantee it, you can be productive. Does that make sense? Oh, hallelujah. Number three, he is a promoter. He's a promoter. Listen, nobody promoted me like my dad. Amen? You've heard the story. You know what? I was the butterfly champion. You know what? And he didn't even say butterfly champion of Pioneer High School. You know what I mean? First of all, I didn't even swim the butterfly. You know, I swam the breaststroke. But it didn't, why didn't you correct him? Because it didn't make any difference. He was just bragging on me. Amen? And if you talk to my dad for 5 minutes, in the 6th minute, he will trust me. If he was here and I'd just say, hey, Dad, here's the mic. Go, you know, just talk to the congregation for a little while. About 6 minutes, you would start to understand who was the butterfly champion. And he wouldn't tell you I was the butterfly champion of Pioneer High School. He wouldn't tell you that. I was just the butterfly champion. Why? Because let me tell you what, we were in the North Sanctuary. My dad came to our church for about 2 years, and after he had retired. And when every Monday, you know what, he'd call me or I'd call him, and he'd talk about just what he'd be like, Drew, where do you get your illustrations? Guys, there weren't very many people in the North Sanctuary at that time. It would have been so easy for him to say, you know what, Drew, I've been noticing in your church, they stay away by the thousands. Nope, never said that to me one time. You know what? He was always, you know what? Just the promoter. I mean, you ask Tamara, just promote. You ask my kids, just promoted me like I was, you know what? Like I could walk on water. Listen, that's how you need to be. Can I teach you something real quick? In your kid's heart, see, we get all this confused. Heart, soul, spirit. We don't know what that is. I'll teach it in detail in level 3. But in your heart, you have 2 things. In your heart, you have your soul, and your spirit is both in your heart. Your soul consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind. How many of your mind is foolish? Your will. How many ever not wanted to do the will of God? Your emotions. Don't get me started. How many emotions can be all over the place? That's your soul. And that's in your heart. And your kids can go off the deep end. How many of our kids gone off the deep end before? It's all over. Of course. They're kids. They go off the deep end. What do your kids need? They need you to promote them. They need you to have the spiritual integrity and intellect not to see what is in their soul, but see what is in their spirit. And you need to speak to those things. You need to do the same thing with your wife. I won't even ask you to raise your hands if your wife has ever gone wacky. I didn't even ask you to raise your hand. Come on. Okay, here, I'll have the wives raise your hands. Wives, raise your hand if you ever flipped out. Okay. Wow. I think that's 100%. Okay. Listen, that's not the time for you to agree to, for you to notice how wacky your wife is. That's the time for you to look in her spirit and speak to that. My dad was my biggest promoter. Dads, you need to promote your kids. Number four, you need to be the priest of the home. Now, you are the priest, but you need to act as that priest. Amen? You ever gone to a grocery store? You ever gone to Home Depot? You ever gone to somewhere and it's like that person is in that position, but they're too busy talking to their other friend to pay attention to you. Amen? See, just because you've given that position doesn't mean you're walking in that position. You need to be the priest of your home. And you know what the main thing the priest does? The priest connects with the Father. That's the main thing. I heard somebody say this the other day, and I just stuck in my spirit. And he said this, and he was speaking to men. He said this, you know, men, your biggest problem isn't your sin. Your biggest problem is that you don't pray. Biggest problem is not that you... I went a little farther on that. The problem with that is that you're not dependent upon God. Remember Jesus said this in John? Remember Jesus said this? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Is that what he said? Look what he says, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. See, the problem is a prayer problem, but the real problem is a pride problem. You show me somebody who's in pride, and I'll show you somebody who doesn't pray. You show me somebody who's humble, and I'll show you somebody who's on their knees. Amen? Fathers, the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. How many fathers have, be honest, how many fathers have some problems in your household? Raise your hand if you have some problem. You're not talking, just have problems in your household. Okay. The prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Not your intellect is going to fix everything. That's what they go, oh, I've got the solution for the problem. I'm a man, and I know how to do everything, and I'm smart, and here's the answer. Just do this. No. Here's the answer. Connect with God. That's the answer. Because how many know, you might be smart, but how many know, compared to God, you are absolutely muy non intelligente. Is that not right? Compared to God. And God has the answers. So what we need to do is get on our knees and pray and say, God, you know what? My son's doing this. My daughter's doing this. God, I don't know even how to fix it. My wife. God, help us. And then be quiet and be humble and allow God to speak to you. One of the things that God will do first is he'll comfort your heart. And I'll say, no. Listen, you keep it up. You keep on praying. You know what? With me, all things are possible. We're gonna get you out of your mess. I'm going to help your family just like I'm helping you. How does that happen? It happens in being dependent upon God. That's what, you know what? You look at how beautiful a rose is. Where is a rose? You cut that rose, and you know what? In a little bit of time, that rose is going to be ugly and dead. But you keep that rose connected to the vine. And it's just going to keep on producing beauty. Not only beauty sight, but beauty smell. Yeah. That's what God wants. God, you know what? You ever see these crazy plays by you ever see an awesome baseball, the shortstop and the second baseman? You ever see them turn a double play? It's really pretty, actually. You know what I mean? It's really amazing. You know what I mean? See, that's what you're to do. You're the second baseman. And what you're to do is you are to take what God has and connect it to your family. You get it from the shortstop? Boom. You get the answer from God? Do you understand? That's what you're doing. You're just, you know what? You're taking it, boom. Yes, God. That's what you're doing. That's why your prayer life is so important. And Satan's got you focused on the, you know what? Listen, you take care of your prayer life, and you watch that addiction just fly away like a crazy bird. Amen? Amen. That's your job. And finally, you don't want, what are you to be? You're to be the protector. You're to be the provider. You're to be the promoter. You're to be the priest. And finally, you know what you're to be? You're to be the prophet. Listen, your calling is not, God never called you to call the things that are as though they are. Man, listen to me. Your words, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Your words are so critical. You are that position. You say, Pastor, I can't prophesy. I'm not that spiritual. I haven't even been to a Bible college. Well, you know what? That's weird, because the Bible says this: pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. See, men, listen to me. All men look at me. All men look at me. You are way more spiritual than Satan is going to give you credit. Your spirituality doesn't have to do with going to Bible college or going to seminary. Your spirit, you know what the Bible says? This willingness to desire. If you draw close to God, He'll draw close to you. The reason why, it's your willingness. Your willingness to say, let me tell you what, God is my source. He is my Father. I can't live without Him. I love Him with all my heart. I need Him with all my heart. I'm totally connected to Him. That desire, God's going to fill you. And so Paul says, wait a minute. You don't have the gift of prophecy? Look, all the gifts, pursue love and desire spiritual gift. Gift? Doesn't say gift, it says gifts. Somebody said, God hasn't given. I listen to pastors preach this. And I think to myself, guys, why don't you open up your Bible and read what the Bible says? God, particularly, and listen, in all the years I've heard this, you know what I hear more than any other gift that pastors haven't been given? Take a wild guess. Tongues. Oh, God hasn't given me the gift of tongues. Well, that's weird, because He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Bible says in the New Testament, you have not because you ask none. Jesus said that these signs will follow those who believe. And the one of the things He said is they will speak with new tongues. Amen. But here's my point. My point is, guys, stop listening to people who are going to tell you that the Holy Spirit won't give you gifts. Gifts. And then how in the world are you? You think the Apostle Paul is going to say that you might prophesy? Oh, but you know what? Desire all the spiritual gifts, but especially that you would prophesy. But you know, Ed, you can't do that. No, listen. This, you want to know the will of God? This is the will of God. The word is the will of God. So when the Bible says, especially that you would prophesy, you know what Paul's saying? That, you know what, if you start to make a decision that I'm going to be a prophet in my home and start to seek God and start to draw close to God, the next thing you know, you'll all of a sudden just, you'll look at your, you know, your kids, you'll look at your wife, you'll have a prophetic word coming out of your mouth over them. You'll see it. You'll see it. When Shayla was, let me tell you a story. When Shayla, I'll brag on Shayla a little. I'll promote. When Shayla was about 1.5, we had her, what do they call that? Dedicated. We dedicated. And when we took Shayla up, I wasn't pastor then. When we took Shayla up to the pastor, that pastor took Shayla. And when the pastor took Shayla, you know what? Shayla was cognizant of the audience. And she was just like very aware, I'm up here on stage and there's all these people watching. She was so cognizant of the audience that the pastor tripped out. That the pastor, it was striking. What did the pastor? And the pastor was prophetic, and he recognized. Why? Because he saw it. Listen, you are the priest of your household, and you ought to see the prophetic in your kids. You ought to see what they're going to become before anybody else sees it. And you need to start speaking it. He said, Pastor, but here's what I told my kids. They can do whatever they want to do. I'd never tell my kids they can do whatever they want to do. Yes, you could be president if you want to be president. You could do whatever. You can run a company. You can do whatever. I'd never tell my kids that. I tell my kids this. You can do whatever God has called you to do. Why? Because you have to be prophetic. Can't just do whatever. I mean, yeah, of course, you can. God, free will, you can do whatever you want to do. But if you want to be, if you want to be prosperous, then you need to get in the will of God, because that's the only place where their real prosperity is only found in functioning the will of God. Listen to me, and I don't know whom I'm speaking to, but I hear this prophetically. I'm going to prophetically do what I tell you as the father of this house and tell there's some people here and you're playing, you're playing around with the things of God. You got one foot in and one foot out, and God says, you know what? I see what's going on, and here's what you need to recognize. Stop doing that, because you're not doing yourself any favors. You're not doing your wife any favors. You're not doing your kids any favors. And ultimately, that one foot in and one foot out will put you in the gutter and get out quick. Because, listen what I hear God saying, because you have no idea, you underestimate what Satan is trying to do, and he will take you out. I don't know who that's for. But how in the world am I supposed to preach to be prophetic if when I have the prophetic word, then I don't give it? Rachel, the Old Testament, gives birth. When she gives birth, she gives birth with incredible pain and incredible sorrow. She probably knew she was going to die. And exactly that's what she did. She died. But before she died, you know what? She called her son Bononi, meaning son of my sorrows. She passes away in the tent. Her son is given to one of the nurses. And the father comes in, Jacob comes in. And the nurse gives the son to the father. And the nurse says, you know what? This is Benoni. And Jacob says, no, no, this is not Benoni. This is Benjamin. This is not son of my sorrows. This is son of my strength. This is son of my right hand. This is son of my power. That, listen, that father recognized his position and his importance to not just promote, but to prophetically speak over his son. And what you've got to do, fathers, is you've got to have the intelligence. When your wife is going nuts, when your kids are off the wall and going places where they shouldn't go and speaking what they shouldn't speak, you've got to stand up and say, no, Satan, I make the stand here. I'm priest. I'm going to act as prophet. I see where my son needs to be. I'm going to speak him to that place in position. Yeah, but he doesn't. I don't care what he's doing. I don't care what he thinks. I don't care what your daughter's doing. I don't care what she thinks. I don't care what drugs there. I don't make any difference. Someone has got to stand up. Because let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is standing up for your son and your daughter. And he's looking on this earth to see who's going to stand up with him. Who's going to come in agreement with him over your son, over your daughter, over your wife. Many men, even men that go to church, they just see their wife going nuts, and they see their, and then they go to work and they just talk about how crazy they're. Oh, my wife's crazy. Oh, you think your wife's crazy? My wife's really crazy. The other day she did it. Well, you think she did it? Oh, my wife, man, she threw a plate at me one time. I think your wife's crazy. My wife's really crazy. Oh, yeah, that's in the spiritual realm. That all you're doing is adding to the stronghold. That's not, listen, you're called to be a priest. You're called to be a prophet. You're called to be a man. You're called to be a protector. You're called to lead. You're called to stand up to that. You're called to see Satan and his devices and say, no, no, as far as me and my house, we'll go serve the Lord. And can I tell you what? And you're, listen, man, listen, I'm going to talk to men. I should have told you this at the beginning. I'm going to talk to men like men. If you come to men's class, you get a little bit of this. Sometimes, you know what, but this is Father's Day, so I'm going to talk to the men. Listen, men, you've got to be the ones that stand up to Satan. Because you know what you are? You are the foundation for your family. You know what the foundation is? Ooh, yes, like you were saying, I'm on top, I'm in charge, I'm, ooh. No, the foundation is the bottom. We're in a kingdom, our kingdom is different, amen? Our kingdom is different. You go to a different kingdom, you go to England, and guess what? You're going to be in trouble, because in that kingdom, they don't drive on the right side, they drive on the left side. Why? Because that's that kingdom. Amen. You're like, oh, you know what? Can I have a coffee? No, but you can have some tea. Why? Because that's a different kingdom. Somebody told me they have suits with shorts. Amen. How many know we don't have? Yeah, skirts. How many, well, that's a different subject. But anyway, that's a different kingdom. In this kingdom, the kingdom that we have, guys, men, you know what? You're the foundation. You're the foundation. You're the one who's got to, listen, you are at the, what's going on here? In here, you know, you see this, you know, nobody comes to church and goes, oh, people come to church all the time and say, wow, this is a beautiful sanctuary. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Nobody's ever come up and said, wow, man, your foundation of this church is so beautiful. Your position is to hold up the beauty of your wife and your kids. That's your position. Yeah, that's the strength. Listen, you are the giver. There's no fathers without a giver. You gave your seed. But there's no fathers without the provider. And men, you've got to understand The main thing that you provide, listen to me. Oh, here's what I want, where I wanted to go. Listen to me, man. The main thing you provide needs to be spiritual guidance. Listen, I love my wife, and I got to run fast sometimes because she is very spiritual. There's times I look at my wife, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, she's ahead of me. But listen to me, man. Your wife shouldn't be ahead of you. You ought to pray more than she prays. You ought to read more than she reads. And you certainly ought to give more than she gives. Why? Because that's your position. That's who God said. That's you. Yeah, yeah. One time I went golfing with Adrian. And I never told him this, but I was impressed. And because we got up early. We had to drive far, went to a real nice golf course. but we had to drive far, and in the morning there was traffic, so we were up here early. And Adrian said this to me. I said, well, how's your morning going so far? And he said, well, so far this morning, and he listed about five things that he had already done. Now, let me tell you what was impressive about that. What was impressive was none of those were for him. Every single one of them were things that he was doing for his kids and his wife. Amen. See, the Bible said, Paul said, be a follower of me as I'm a follower of Christ. There's examples that we have. You know what? You know what? Pastor George, Isaac, you know what? Adrian, you know what? Brian, you know what? You know, hopefully me. And what we need to do is we need to understand our main responsibility is to hold up our family, to be that spiritual thing. You know, all this macho, crazy garbage. You know what? And you think you're strong, but you know what? Strong men are spiritual men. Strong men are godly men. That's godly. I don't want my wife. You know what? I don't want my wife. You know, if the car breaks down, I don't tell them. Honey, that's a good illustration. I'll close with this. If our car breaks down, I don't grab the wheel and tell my wife to get out and push. Well, I'm a better driver than you. You push. I'm going to drive. You know, in the spiritual realm, we have fathers, and their wives are the ones who are doing the pushing. Man, I love you. Get out of the car. Let your wife drive, and you push. Because that's your position. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Did you learn anything? If I don't know, maybe there's somebody in this room and you haven't come into the family of God. We don't want to end this service. We don't give you an opportunity to accept Jesus in your heart. If that's you, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you want to accept Jesus in your heart, just raise up your hand. I'm just going to pray a short prayer with you. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to tell you. No. Listen, this is between you and God. But if you want to accept Jesus, I want you to raise your hand right now, wherever you are. And then if maybe something that was said and you said, Pastor, that message was for me. Maybe it was all 5 points. Maybe it was just 1 point. Maybe you're not even a father, but the Holy Spirit spoke to you in some way that you want to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want you to pray with me. Yes. I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Men all over. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, you see our hands that are up. I pray that we would be godly men in all these points. May we really provide for our family. May we understand that we need to be spiritual priests. We need to show them how much we're in love with Jesus. Help us, God. In his name we pray. Amen.